Hannah. Marco. Hi, Marco.
Marco.
Hey.
By the way, I have your handouts from class yesterday.
Yes, ma'am. Something came up and I couldn't make that class. It was
well,
mom
what
I was studying, but
well, when I sent you by PDF, all he did was go over the vocabulary of everything that we've had since chapter one. And then we worked on the vocabulary for lesson nine, and that was all. So I'm not going to mail them to you because you already have the word list.
Yes, ma'am.
Chapter
nine. Yes, ma'am.
You know, work on those.
Okay.
Rather than leave your handouts on the table, you know, I thought it'd best if I pick it for you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
I had company all morning, so that's why I wasn't able to get on the computer and let you know.
Okay.
Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you for the handouts and everything you sent me. Beautiful.
Oh, you got them? Good.
I did. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Shavua Tov to everyone. Kodesh Tov as well.
Thank you. Shavua Tov.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa. Yadula Chimincha. Ta. Alpha Gimel Yitak Sabi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagrenu Kaharenu No Ra Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamren Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkatcha Tami Shamren Vetet Reish Saditach Gimel. The letters of the month of Av, the Kaf, that created the planet Shemesh, the planet Chama, the planet we call the Sun, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the Lion, the astrological sign of Leo. Chasim Kadosh, Lerov Tuvcha, Na'el Adata Het Kuf Bet Het Nunayim Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimel Lamed Hey Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Sadiyotav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. And we're going to utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for that purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'ral Chesed V'emet, Notze chesed la lafim, Notze aon wa fesha, Vechata avinakei. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year 5777, the year of the goat. And this is actually the last time as a community we will be able to connect to this, well, not really this last time. There are two verses that connect us from the Tanakh to this energy. The first of them is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52, meaning the first that we will study. And we will start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabrichu ishkinte bit hilu, urchimud hilud hilu urchimu, le'atka l'shem yud he bevav he, v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino Amadonai Elohinu Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Konenehu. Tzod Tzaduni Katzipor Oyevai Chinam. When we take the first letters of these five words, we're able to parse them into Tzatz Ki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. And when we take the final letters of the five words, we can permute them into Dir Yam, which is translated as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we study is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year is concealed. The letters that spell its name, Tav Shin Ayin Zion, are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadebaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has two verses. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayulimat velo yachlu lehashit et kol haolot vayehasum. Achehem alvim ad kilot hamlacha yad yitkadshu hakohanim ki halvim yishre leval lehitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe, Lalahe, Wawawa, Yolayo Alame, Hey Hey Hey, Aka'a, Rekacha. The second verse that connects to the energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Itchu ba Adonai Yohewahe Adead kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur Olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this year, to this energy, and that's Job chapter 7, verse 19. Malo Tishemi Meni Lo Tarpeni Adbili Ruki. The second verse comes from Samuel Aleph, or 1 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 23. Udu mikol amachavoyam asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachon v'halachti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that has this energy in the Tanakh, and that's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom liami li Israel untati vushakan tafta vilo yirgaz od vilo yosifu bene avlal anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to connect to a verse from the Zohar that connects to certainty. It's from Parashah Yitro, it's Pasuk 29. And since my memory is gone and I don't remember that we said the L'Shem Yehud, we will also say another L'Shem Yehud in case we've said it. L'Shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bitchilu urchimu tchilu tchilu urchimu le'akta l'Shem Yud hei b'vav hei Yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah v'yehino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar b'kama atar tanenan dekutcha barichu koma diaved Le'ela w'tata kolaihu yishot b'yovada dikshot v'le'ilach mila b'yalma divaye barnash v'dach yaleya mineya ulan haga be'ya kalana dehakulu ovada Bikshot inun wikola itzderich bi alma. We're just going to scan the two sets of 72 names since we said them out loud earlier today. So please scan the chart. And scan the 72 names from the Sadduqim chart. The Sadduqim who left this evening, which is the 29th day of Av, which is known as Yom Kippur Katan. And I highly recommend that you go to the Hilulah page on the Yeshem webpage for the month of Av. You can find that link under the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, or if you're in one of the portable devices, you may find it at the bottom of the page. And click on the link for the 29th day of Av. It will bring you to another link that gives you a study tool for tonight and tomorrow that comes from the Ben Ish Chai, a tremendous famous Sephardic sage. The tzaddikim who left this day, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosef Zundel Salinger, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Alter, and Rabbi Eliezer Susha ben Rabbi Yisrael Avraham Portugal. And the meditation that is recommended by the Ari for this period up until Yom Kippur, this is a cleansing of thought. The word for thought in Hebrew is makshava, and permutating the letters, you can spell chashavma, which translates as think of ma. Think of 45, think of what. You can find that meditation on the Yashem website on the advanced reincarnation links. No, excuse me, the advanced teshuvah classes. Yo wada, yo wada, hey, yo wada. Hey, wa awa, yo wada, hey, wa awa, hey, yo wada, yo wada, hey, yo wada, hey, wa awa, yo wada, hey, wa awa, hey, yo wada, yo wada, hey, yo wada, hey, wa awa. Yo wada hey ya, wa awa hey ya, yo wada yo wada, hey ya yo wada, hey ya wa awa, yo wada hey ya, wa awa hey ya, yo wada yo wada, hey ya yo wada, hey ya wa awa, yo wada hey ya. And the eighth verse of the Anabakoach, we say in a whisper. So our handout for this class is available on the unique astrological times link that's underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yashem webpage, or on the portable devices at the bottom of the page. When you open up that page, scroll down to where it says Preparation for Elul and Tishrei Holidays, and click on that first link. When that link opens up, please scroll down to Class 5A, Igeret Teshuvah from the Tanya, Class 1. That will be our handout today. And we will be speaking some Hebrew, and we will be speaking mostly English as we study this letter of Teshuvah that was attached, written by the Alter Rebbe, the first Chabad Rebbe, who is the author of the Tanya. And when the Tanya was first printed, this letter to his students was attached. And this is a letter about Teshuvah. And it helps us understand many different levels of Teshuvah, and also how to do Teshuvah. in the appropriate way with the appropriate kavanah. Chapter 1. By way of introduction to the Igeret HaTeshuvah, Igeret means letter, it should be noted that the Alter Rebbe is known as the master of the Tanya and also the Shulchan Aruch. The Rebbe, the seventh Chabad Rebbe, Rabbi, once remarked that master of the Tanya means that the Alter Rebbe is an arbiter in the esoteric dimension of the Torah, and master of the Shulchan Aruch signifies that his halakhic rulings are authoritative. Now, in reality, that only applies to the people who follow the Chabad organization. There are many arbiters of the Shulchan Aruch. Furthermore, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, the sixth Chabad Rebbe, once stated in a public address that the four parts of Tanya correspond to the four sections of the Shulchan Aruch. In this connection, the Rebbe gives an explanation, both according to Chassidut and according to the revealed strata of the Torah, of the relation between the third part of the Tanya, known as the Igeret HaTeshuvah, and the third section of the Shulchan Aruch, Evan HaEzer. According to Chassidut, the relation between the two is clarified by a statement in Chapter 4 of Igeret HaTeshuvah, that the lower and higher levels of Teshuvah, which together encompass all the degrees of repentance, are respectively indicated by the lower and higher letters He of the four-letter name of God, Yud He Vav He. In terms of their spiritual personality, so to speak, these two letters are feminine. Both are receivers, receptors, the higher He representing the level of Bina, being impregnated by Chokhmah, and the lower He representing Malchut being impregnated by the six emotions, the emotive Sephirot known as Zeranpin. This feminine element connects Igeret HaTeshuvah with Evan HaEzer, which codifies the laws involving women. And I am adding, without going into details, Teshuvah is dealing with feminine essence, which is the essence of receiving. As the revealed plane of the Torah, we find that the Talmudic tractate Gittin, which deals with the laws of divorce, precedes tractate Kiddushin, which deals with the laws of marriage. In the introduction to his commentary on the Mishnah, Maimonides explains this order by quoting the verse from Devarim, "When she leaves his house, she may go and marry another man." Here too, divorce precedes marriage. Historically, as well, the Midrash points out that the root of the word used by the Torah to say that Elohim banished Adam from the Garden of Eden, Vayigaresh, is the same as the root of the word for divorce, Gerushin. Accordingly, the sages compared his state to that of a Jewish divorcee, who is permitted to remarry her former husband. And indeed, when Hashem later gave the Torah to the Jewish people, He sanctified us. Kadoshnu with His mitzvot. In the Holy Tongue, this verb shares a common root with the word for marriage or betrothal, kiddushin. In this connection, the Alter Rebbe said, above that Hashem, having sanctified us with his mitzvot, parallels what a man declares when betrothing a wife. You are hereby consecrated unto me. This dynamic, marriage in the wake of divorce, is echoed in the spiritual use of these terms. The connection to teshuvah is thus readily apparent. A marriage is conceivable after a state of divorce only when there was teshuvah in the interim. For as the Alter Rebbe stated earlier on, indeed, it is impossible for the wicked to begin to serve Hashem without first repenting for their past. In Scripture also, we find repentance depicted as the reconcilement of a divorced couple, culminating in remarriage. For sin banishes the Shekhinah, the divine presence, the mother of all souls. In the words of the prophet, Ufashi achem shalacha a'en inchem. Because of your transgressions was your mother sent away. This is the self-same verb that the Torah uses for divorce. The shalacha mebito. And he will send her away from his house. And it is repentance that undoes the spiritual divorce. To the point that Hashem can ask his people the rhetorical question, where is your mother's bill of divorce? For as a result of his people's repentance, the divorce is annulled. In the plainly manifested levels of the Torah as well, there is explicit evidence in the Gemara that repentance resembles remarriage following divorce. Rabbi Yochanan teaches that repentance overrides a prohibition stated in the Torah and cites the following verse. If a man sends away his wife and she leaves him for another man, will he return to her again? Yet though you have strayed, return to me. Thus argues Rabbi Yochanan, Hashem is saying here that repentance overrides the prohibition that her first husband may not remarry her. And this is only true if she married another man in the interim. Here too, then, remarriage following divorce is a paradigm of repentance. I am adding, this paragraph is a good argument to the charge that the Jews are no longer Hashem's firstborn and have been replaced by the new Israel. And that would be because if someone has created another idol, the first separation was the golden calf. But if someone never did teshuvah for that in any of their lifetimes and has other idols in their other lifetimes, when they finally do teshuvah for idol worship, they will be able to remarry to Hashem. But if they did teshuvah for the golden calf and then created another idol, these statements are problematic. But of course, Hashem has the ability to override all of the halachot. And he has said that all of the children of Israel will return to him at the time of Mashiach. Thus, there is a clear correspondence between the third part of the Tanya, the Igeret HaTeshuvah, and the third section of the Shulchan Aruch, Eben HaEzer, which deals with the laws involving women. On the handout, you begin to see verses and sentences of Hebrew, and I will read them in the Hebrew as best I can. But if I mispronounce them, you can rest assured, based on teachings in the Zohar, that these words will be corrected when you hear them. Tanayo besof yoma shalosha aluki kaparachem. It has been taught in a Baraita at the end of Tractate Yoma. There are three types of atonement, varying according to the different categories of transgression. Vita teshuvah im kol echad. And repentance necessarily accompanies each of them. Ever al mitzvot asa v'shev inu zaz meshem ad shemochalin lo. If one failed to fulfill a positive mitzvah and repentant, he is forgiven forthwith. Ever al mitzvot lo ta'ase v'shev teshuvah tola v'yom ha-kippurim mekaper. And if one violated a prohibitive mitzvah and repentant, his repentance is tentative and Yom Kippur atones. In this instance, repentance alone does not suffice to secure complete forgiveness. It only guarantees that he will not be punished until the arrival of Yom Kippur, at which time he is completely forgiven. And remember, it's not really punishment. It's the effect of his own action. But that effect will not manifest until at least Yom Kippur. And thus we see that we need to do teshuvah during the month of Elul in order to make sure that we are forgiven on Yom Kippur. Pirush de'af al gav dilanin keyom mitzvot asa gedola sheducha et lo ta'ase. This means that though in terms of fulfillment, a positive mitzvah is superior, for which reason it supersedes a prohibitive mitzvah. When positive and negative mitzvot conflict, the positive mitzvah takes precedence and overrides the prohibition. For example, the wearing of tzitzit made of a mixture of wool and linen, despite the prohibition of kalayim, or shatness. Since observing a positive mitzvah thus appears to be of more value than observing a prohibition, why do we say that if one transgresses a positive mitzvah, repentance alone suffices? Whereas if one transgresses a prohibition, forgiveness cannot be secured by repentance alone, and one must wait the advent of Yom Kippur. I hope it's clear as to what is the question. If you violate a positive mitzvah and you do teshuvah, you're forgiven. If you violate a negative mitzvah and you do teshuvah, you have to wait until Yom Kippur to be forgiven. And this seems to imply that the positive mitzvah is more important than the negative mitzvah. The Alter Rebbe will now address himself to this question, and his answer will also enable us to understand the spiritual effects of the performance of a positive mitzvah and the spiritual blemish that results from transgressing a negative mitzvah. Insight into the mitzvot from this perspective will in turn enable us to understand why a positive mitzvah supersedes a negative mitzvah, and why it is nevertheless more difficult to attain atonement for transgressing a negative mitzvah. Briefly, the answer is as follows. When one performs a positive mitzvah, he not only fulfills God's will, but he also draws down a flow of divine light into the higher spiritual realms, and also upon his own soul. The reason? Each positive mitzvah is likened to a body or bodily organ. As our sages have told us, the 248 organs of the body correspond to the 248 positive mitzvot. This means to say that just as a bodily organ is a receptacle for the life force which it elicits from the soul, so too is each positive mitzvah a vessel that draws down divine effluence, divine shefa, and vitality from the infinite Ein Sof light. Moreover, just as the life force of the soul is enclosed within the various limbs, so too does the life force drawn down through the performance of a positive mitzvah become enclosed, internalized within the world. Fulfilling a negative mitzvah by not committing the transgression is also a fulfillment of the divine will. As our sages of blessed memory have said, if one passively refrains for all his days from sin, he is rewarded. The Rebbe's note, but only as though he had actively performed a mitzvah. However, since such performance does not result from any action on his part, as in the case of a positive mitzvah, he merely fulfills God's will by not transgressing. Its result is of lesser spiritual value. For the purpose of Torah and mitzvot is to draw down divine illumination through the performance of the 248 positive mitzvot, and to dispel the spirit of impurity through the observance of the 365 prohibitions. And this was explained earlier in the Tanya, and it's clearly explained in the Zohar. An unwritten commentary. When you do not violate a negative mitzvah, you're not drawing down shefa. There's a benefit to it. It removes impurity. It's cleansing. But it's not drawing shefa. When you do a positive mitzvot, you draw shefa to all of the worlds. And this is why a positive mitzvot has more importance, more effect, and would supersede a negative mitzvah if they were in conflict. continuing to read. And feel free to ask questions. Thus, in a situation where positive and negative precepts clash, and the question is which one is to be set aside, the positive mitzvah supersedes the negative. For it is impossible that doing the prohibited deed will impart a spirit of impurity, inasmuch as its prohibition is being overruled because the Torah so dictates. Conversely, even if the Torah were to direct that one should neglect the positive mitzvah, the action that would draw down divine illumination would still be lacking. For this reason, a positive mitzvah supersedes a prohibition. The deficiency normally wrought by transgressing a prohibition does not result when the Torah commands that it be set aside, while the dividend against gained by fulfilling a positive mitzvah, the drawing down of the Shefa, is realized. However, in light of the above, it would seem that the same reasoning should apply with regard to transgressions. A higher degree of repentance should be necessary for violating a positive mitzvah than for transgressing a negative mitzvah. Yet according to the above quotation from the Gemara in Yoma, the opposite is true. The explanation is as follows. The advantage of the positive mitzvah, the godly light that it draws into the soul, cannot be won through repentance in any event. All that repentance can now secure is forgiveness for the transgression. Not so with regard to transgressing a prohibition, where repentance can rectify the misdeed entirely. Furthermore, since the misdeed actively blemished the individual soul and the celestial realms as well, mere repentance does not suffice. Only Yom Kippur can completely obliterate the blemish that it brought about. As you can see, it seems to be a little bit complex, but it really isn't. We're going to go into more detail as the Alter Rebbe continues to say. Hayinu mishum she'al yedi kiyom mitzvot asa mamishicha or the shefa yolomot aleyoli yunai yonim mehe aret or ayin sof beruch baruchu. This superiority of the positive mitzvah that makes it supersede a negative mitzvah is so because by performing a positive mitzvah, one precipitates an illumination and flow into the higher worlds for the reflected infinite Ein Sof light. Kimo shekatu Zohar deramach v'yukudin inun ramach avarin demalka. As we find in the Zohar, the 248 positive mitzvot are the 248 organs of the king. The 248 positive mitzvot are equated with the emotive attributes of Atzilut, which are collectively termed the king, Zeranpin of Atzilut. Just as an organ serves as a vessel to the soul faculty enclosed within it, so too is each positive mitzvah an organ and a vessel for a particular effluence of the emotive attributes of Atzilut that are drawn down through the performance of that particular mitzvah. Thus, through performing positive mitzvot, one draws down godliness into the higher worlds. And also through the performance of a positive mitzvah, one draws godliness onto his divine soul. Kimo she'omrim, asher kedashnu b'mitzvotav. As we say in the blessings that precede the performance of many mitzvot, who has hallowed us with his mitzvot? For example, fulfilling a positive mitzvah has the effect of drawing down divine light and holiness upon the soul, for which reason it surpasses and supersedes conformity to a negative mitzvah. As we said above, do a positive mitzvah, you draw down shefa. Follow the directions of a negative mitzvah, and you cleanse yourself, but you don't draw down shefa. But concerning repentance, which would seek to rectify the transgressions of a positive command, a positive mitzvah. Ah, shemo chalin lo ta'a o nesh, al shema red b'malkuto. It baruch v'lo asa me'amar ha-melech. Though through repentance, the punishment, the effect for rebelling against Hashem's rule and not fulfilling the king's word, is commuted. Mekol makom ha'or ne'adar v'gomer. Nonetheless, the illumination which would have been drawn down through the performance of the positive mitzvah is still lacking, even after repentance, so that the sin remains only partially rectified. V'kama amar rizal al besuk meot lo yokal. The ta'akin zeshavitil kariyat shema shel arvayit o wigomer. On the verse, a crookedness that cannot be corrected. For example, even though through repentance, our sages accordingly comment, and this relates to one who neglected the evening or the morning reading of the Shema, or the evening or morning prayer. One second. V'yach shenazohar me'ata l'karot t'riyat shema shel arvayit v'shacharit le'olam. For though he be scrupulous henceforth about reading the morning and evening Shema forevermore, thereby demonstrating his regret, Ein teshuvotao mo'alot l'ta'akun ma'ashabitil pe'am achat. His repentance is ineffectual in correcting what he once neglected. For after all is said and done, the world will forever be lacking the unique gift of divine light that he could have drawn down through reading the Shema on that particular occasion. Thus, all that repentance can accomplish, he is now able to accomplish through repentance alone. No other steps can secure him any further atonement. So much for him who transgressed a positive precept. What this is saying, it's an unwritten commentary. What this is saying is, if you didn't say the Shema this morning, God forbid, there was a potential to draw Shefa into the upper worlds and into your life by saying that Shema. Since you didn't say it, and it's a positive mitzvah, now you do teshuvah. That shefa that could have been drawn down wasn't. And yes, it will be made up in a sense by your teshuvah, but that shefa doesn't get fixed, doesn't get drawn down because of your repentance. Each day stands unique and unto itself. And that's the reality. So if you don't do a mitzvah that you could have done this day, that shefa that you could have drawn down is not never going to be drawn down. Until Mashiach puts every aspect of light into every aspect of the proper vessel. But you've lost the opportunity to do that. It will get done through the aspect of Mashiach and what that means, but not because you did it. Now, on a practical matter, is it really that important that you didn't say a Shema today? One day out of your life. That's something that each individual has to decide. And obviously, if there was no education, if you didn't know that you were supposed to do that mitzvah, as many people in today's world are captured by Satan and do not receive that education. It's a much lesser consequence, much lesser effect than someone who was taught that they needed to do the mitzvah, to read the Shema every day, and didn't. Continuing to read in the Hebrew. V'ha'over al mitzvot lo ta'aseh al yedi shenada rak ha'ara b'na'afsho o'seh v'gam lima'ala b'sharosh sharisha kor ho'tzava. If one violates a prohibition in thought, in speech, or in action, since thereby evil cleaves to his soul, he also impairs its supernal root and its source. Bilavushim di yud safi rot di asiniya kimo shekati. Betachroni zohar levushin takinat londaminihu perachin nashmatin levanet bene nashawigomer. In the garbs of the 10 sefirot of Asiya, the physical levels, as the Tikkuni Zohar writes, You have fashioned garbs for the Sephirot, from which fly forth souls for men, or for man. We thus see from the Tikkuni Zohar that it is from the garments of the Sephirot that souls emanate. When a soul is blemished through sin, these garments are blemished as well. Leka achen kapara lenasho velo lama'ala ad yom hakipurim. Therefore, there is no atonement for his own soul, nor above, until Yom Kippur. As will be explained a little later, atonement means cleansing that which was blemished. This requires not only repentance, but in addition, the light of Yom Kippur, which is the light of the energy store known as Bina. Kemo shekatu v'kapar al hakodesh metumot b'nei Yisrael uma pesha yahem u'egomer lifnei Hashem ta'atam haro. Concerning which it is written, he shall atone for the holy place because of the impurities of the children of Israel, and because of their sins, before Havaya shall you be purified. Lifnei Hashem Deika. Before Hashem is being stressed. An example, the purification granted by Yom Kippur emanates from a level that transcends the divine name, Havaya, and can even atone for a blemish that resulted from transgressing a positive, prohibited, a negative mitzvah. At any rate, we have seen that in certain respects, transgressing a positive mitzvah has more serious consequences than transgressing a negative mitzvah. Ukenein lalamud mikaan shum kaula chas v'shalom b'mitzvot asa. Hence one should not, God forbid, infer any leniency in the positive mitzvah from this baraita, this ancient teaching, which states that one is immediately forgiven after repenting for having transgressed a positive mitzvah. While transgressing a negative mitzvah requires, in addition, the atonement of Yom Kippur. Upaparat b'talmud Torah. Particularly ought one not infer any leniency in Torah study. V'yada rava amro rezal v'yiter hakadosh baruch hu al ovad avodah zera v'gomer af shechen karitot umitot bet din v'lo yeter al b'yetol Talmud Torah. On the contrary, our sages assert, Hashem has in certain instances glossed over even idolatry, incest, and murder, though excision and capital punishment are involved. But he did not excuse the neglect of Torah study. The baraita with which this chapter opened is now resumed. Ever al karitot umitot beit din tashuva v'yom hakipurim Tolin v'yesorim me'marakin. If one commits a sin punishable by excision or execution, repentance and Yom Kippur are tentative, so that the individual is not punished and sufferings scour or cleanse. Pirush gomarin hakapara v'hu malashon marika v'shatifa v'tzachatzat ha-nefesh. For example, they complete the atonement. The verb memarkin denotes the final stage, namely scouring and rinsing in order to polish the soul. Kipara haya hayo lishon ki onot shemak noach v'kaloch hachata. For kapara, it's really not a good word. Atonement is not kapara. Kapara is cleansing. Atonement is unification. For kapara is the term for the preceding stage of cleaning, removing the uncleanness of the sin. Sins punishable by the excision or the execution are not cleaned away through repentance. And Yom Kippur alone, the soul must also be scoured and rinsed through suffering. Heaven forbid. Shene mar bekach pakadati v'shevet v'sham u'nagiyam onem akein l'shon havarita. Thus far the Baraita with which this chapter opened. Our time is up. We didn't complete chapter 1, but we've completed this first section. Does anybody have any questions? And I would appreciate your input by email or by phone. If this is the structure of this teaching is acceptable, is informational, is beneficial to you. Tomorrow's classes at 4:30 will be a mini Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock, my plan is to continue where we left off here in the Egeret HaTeshuvah to complete chapter 1 and move on to further chapters. The letter, the Egeret, has 12 chapters to give you an idea. Shalom to all, unless there are questions. Have a beautiful week. Shavuot Tov. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.